Hello and welcome to the Science Fiction Book Review Podcast. My name is Luke Burridge and this is the show where I review every single science fiction book that I read as I read it. There's no set schedule. It's just whenever we finish a book, or in this case finish a series of books, we do a review and stick it up here on the podcast feed. I say we because joining me today is Juliana. Hello.
Hello.
Great. We're here. What are we doing today, you say?
It's kind of like the wrap-up of our previous reading of the culture series novels
that
of Ian and Banks.
It's not just kind of like that.
It is exactly.
It is that. So what we did is, like, almost 2 years ago, someone called Ian and Banks, who is one of my favorite authors of all time, died, and we were like, hey, let's read through all the books. And at the time we were like, hey, okay, let me just go have a look at the episode numbers that we actually did this, because I have it right here. So back on episode number 201, I said, let's read all the books through. And I thought we'd, like, read a book, and then I'd read another book, and then we'd read the next book in the series, and then we'd read another book, and then I'd read the next book. And I thought that's how it was going to go.
Turns out,
it started off pretty well. Player of Games, episode 202. Consider Phlebas, 204. And then Accession, 209. And you're thinking, oh, this is pretty good. There's, like, only, like, one or, like, three or four books in between. And then Use of Weapons, 213. Okay, there's a few more books in between. And then State of the Art, 221. And anyway, it extends until it was, Surface Detail to Hydrogen Sonata, 18 books in between, or 18 episodes in between. So it took us a while to get through, longer than I thought. But, you know, I did read all of the Hugular award winners and whole other series and whole other authors being introduced and things like that. So we got through to it in the end. We wrapped up with the final book, Look to Windward, a few episodes ago, and we thought, hey, let's just do a wrap-up and talk about what we liked about the series, our favourite bits and pieces and things like that. So that's what we're going to do.
I kind of want to defend myself now.
What do you mean, defend yourself?
It's mainly because I didn't read them so quick as you did.
No, it's nothing to do with that. It's just I was just reading other stuff and you were reading other stuff.
Yeah, I couldn't, like, read in the pleasure way so much because I had lots of stuff to do for university, so I had to read other boring scientific books and stuff like
research
that.
Research books.
Research, yeah. So that's mainly the reason. But, and also sometimes I thought, should I really read the English book, because sometimes the language is a bit challenging for me in these kind of books, and so I always try to get the German novels,
but there wasn't always German novels
so it was sometimes a bit tricky to get the right stuff for me to read.
But we did it. We got through all
finally,
10 stories. And first of all, let's just wrap up. Did you enjoy the whole overall culture series? This was your first exposure to any of these. You hadn't read any of them before, had you? Oh, no, you'd read Player of Games.
Player of Games and Use of Weapons before.
Yeah, because I said they were my
2012.
Top. Yeah. Because I said those were those were some of my favourite books. So then when it got to 2013 and we started off, that was a reread for
you.
Yeah,
right. So these were the two novels I read before we started reading those. Otherwise, I read everything for the first time.
Okay. Well, let's do this then. Let's just get into our top picks of different things then. Okay, so you're...
No, let me answer the question first. You asked me if
I enjoyed
the culture.
Oh, didn't... I presumed you'd said yes already.
I did not say yes. Yet,
okay,
but yes, I'm going to say yes now.
Okay,
and I enjoyed it thoroughly, and I wished several times since I encountered the culture society kind of thing, I wished I would live in that. Everything would be so much easier.
But, you know, they're leaving Earth. They're not touching Earth. They're leaving us as a control in their
galactic
experiment.
Since the '70s, great.
Yeah, apparently, they'll contact us in the future in the year 2100. You know, so in another 85 years, they'll contact us. Hopefully, you'll be alive.
I mean, maybe in that time, humans will be better in development, like health-wise. Well, and I could have a chance. I mean, it's not so far off.
I think the point that they wanted to contact us anyway, but then they said, oh, no, humans will destroy themselves. Oh, no, they won't destroy themselves, because there was all that, like, 1970s, you know, Cold War paranoia.
Right.
But that didn't happen. That didn't happen. And I think we're going to be sufficiently advanced in the year 2100 that the culture will say, no, now you might as well join us, because you're near enough to the culture anyway, because I'm a massive optimist, and I reckon we will have 3D printers and it'll all be post-scarcity a post-scarcity society here on Earth already, and that's when...
Yeah, let's start it, Luke. Let's do it together.
Yeah,
let's start the scarcity society. I'm all with you. And yep. I'm sure other people will be with you as well.
Yeah. Well, first we just need to sort out world hunger. And once we've done that, everyone is free to work on better stuff. Anyway, let's do this. Okay, let's do this one. Your favorite book in the series. Go.
Oh wow, that is really hard.
I told you we're gonna go through and tell you the best of stuff.
But you can't really say it this way because
Okay, standout books for you. Which ones stand out and you think, yes, this is the book that I want? Or this is the book that meant the most to me? Any category that you want to say?
Well, I really, really enjoyed Look to Windward.
Yeah.
And I really enjoyed Play of Games.
Which happened to be the opening book in the series and the closing book in our reading order.
But also, I don't even know the English name right now. Is it Inversions?
Inversions. That? Yeah, yes. It's called. It says it right there. Oh, no, it's a German word. Oh, I can't see from this distance. Yeah, Inversions.
So these three books.
Yeah. They're your five-star books, are they?
Yes, they were my five-star books, and I really enjoyed them.
Well, for me, I'd read all these books before, but then coming back to them and revisiting them again actually made some of them stand out more for me and others less. I mean, I can't remember exactly what ratings I'd have given them before. Use of Weapons and Play of Games, I knew going into these would be five-star books because they are five-star books for me. But Inversions, I'd only read once before, and it is actually quite a complex story, even though it's quite a simple story on the face of it. You've got one person over here and another kingdom over there, or an empire over here and a kingdom over there, and there's like these the doctor to the king, and the bodyguard for the, you know, and the way that they interact together. Reading that for the second time made me see loads more in there, and like the story was all cleared up. So exactly the same thing that happened to me when I first read Use of Weapons, and I was like, oh, that's interesting, because that's quite a complex story. You got the two threads, one going forward in time, the other chapter's going back in time. Yeah. It's quite complex.
Yeah.
And then reading Look to Windward, I had the same experience where the second time I read Use of Weapons, I was like, oh, and it all clicked in my brain. I was like, oh, this is genius. And the second time I read Inversions, I had a similar feeling to that as well. You know, so that's why Inversions also came out as a five-star book for me. And I think that was one of my favorite podcasts when we discussed that one, and we got quite a lot out of it. And it's weird because it's like the least culture book of all of these culture books.
Right, it is. But then it kind of makes you appreciate the culture even more.
Yeah, when you can read a book and it reads kind of like medieval history or medieval fantasy style book, and yet it's so informed by the culture and what you know of the culture, and that those two characters are from the culture, the doctor and the bodyguard are from the culture, that it's like now, like you say, when you look around in the modern, in our current world, and you just go, well, what would this situation be different if we were in the culture? And that's what we are. We are those two characters. We are the outside people from the culture. We're us science fiction fans, our culture citizens who have to just kind of exist in this world until the culture turns up, or until we make it turn up. And that's what they're doing. And so it's a very personal connection that you can have to those books, kind of.
Right, you know, and especially in that one.
Yeah?
Yes, I think so.
Okay.
So this is why these three books are my favorites.
Okay, and while we're just on these books, which ones is your least favorite?
Let me look.
For me, it's clear, and this is why I say don't read it first, is Consider Phlebas. It's just the weakest book.
I have two books there.
Okay.
I rated two books with 3 stars, which is still like...
Yeah, still pretty good.
Yeah. First is Consider Phlebas as well.
Yeah.
And Accession.
Accession is complex, and the story isn't strong.
Yes, exactly. Mainly because of that.
I like the book, but I totally understand why people are dissatisfied with it, because it is the one which has got the least human connection. And it's kind of designed that way. You know, it's written, hey, let's have a big adventure with the ships running around and solving problems.
I mean, it's good that it's there. I wouldn't want to miss it, actually, in the series at all. But it is quite... Yeah, it is quite challenging as well.
For me, it fails. All of the other books have great characters which you can feel a human connection to. Like I was just saying about the doctor and the bodyguard.
Yeah.
You kind of find your way in. In this book, there's that main character who lives with the affront and wants to become an affront. But then he's got this whole thing where he had a wife, and the wife is still pregnant 20 years later. And there's this whole thing of, you know, what went on between the two of them on the sleeper service ship. Or now they're on the sleeper service, or wherever they're being kept, you know, all that kind of stuff. And that it feels like a human story, which as a short story could have been, it could have just existed as a short story.
Yeah.
But it kind of felt grafted on to this big thing. It's like, oh, we need to get that guy to go and talk to that person because that's the, you know, that's that one ship's, it wasn't the sleeper service, it was a different one, but that the ship wanted to...
Yeah, I just wanted to say, is that...
No, the sleeper service was on there, but it was a different ship. I can't remember who that ship's last obsession was to get these bits. Oh, just so everyone knows, massive spoilers for all of this stuff. his obsession was to get those two people back together again, and that was the reason why he said, oh, I will do this thing if you get that person over here and all that kind of stuff. But that just felt like, it felt like a widget that it was like an extraneous widget which had kind of been grafted onto this big thing with the accession, with all this other stuff going on, with these galaxy spanning, you know, disaster and all these ships turning up.
Is that the ship that has all these dead bodies arranged in
that's the sleeper service?
That is it,
but it was a
it?
Different ship. It was a different ship, which was the one. Let me bring it up now. A list of spaceships and go to accession. It was the Grey Area.
Grey Area.
That was it, the Grey Area, a.k.a. Meatfucker. And Meatfucker was, looked into the people's minds. Or was it a different one? Anyway, it's the one of those, it was one of those ships which was like, okay, we need to get this thing and get, the, you know, do this thing together.
A very
and this
big
is the,
ship.
This one has got the key, and there was only one human who lived on there, and lots of whales or whatever it was.
Yeah.
But like I say, all of the ships going round and all of the other stuff. And also, who was the bad guy in the story? The bad guy was either the Accession, but that's an impersonal thing from outside the universe. And the other things were like a faction of special circumstances or some faction of ships which were kind of undermining the other one. It's like, well, these godlike
it's not really
beings.
Bad. It's not really bad enough.
Yeah, these godlike beings all like playing among themselves. Meanwhile, a godlike being from an even more godlike being from a different universe comes through, and it just, yeah, it's just difficult to find your way into that story. Even though it's an enjoyable story and there's some really good culture stuff, it's not a story with that human connection that I really could identify with, because I have never been pregnant for that long, and I've never changed sex, and I've never tried to kill my girlfriend and all that kind of stuff. It's just not, it's not the situation that I've been in.
Good to know.
let's move on. Let's go on the next thing. I've got some notes here. You made a note here. Let's go into your favorite characters in the because I saw you made some notes here as well.
Yeah. So it's really some stuff. I must make clear. It's really difficult to separate things out of the separate books, because this all, like, every book added just more to my general impression of the culture, and to my, like, it's more of a mysterious cloud of things in my head. I still remember some stuff, but
it was two years ago when we read some of these.
I'm missing out a few characters that I at the time said, oh, I love them, and now I totally forgot about them. Really sorry about that. I might read all these books again in the future, just to get back all these nice memories.
I probably will.
So anyway, my favorite characters were
human or protagonist human characters, kind of.
Yeah. So it's Dizzy at Smart and her other parts of her name. Just using the smart part there.
Yeah.
So Dizzy at Smart. Via cousin.
Why Dizzy at Smart? Why is her? Because she had to deal with the...
No, because she's just really smart, and she's just really cool.
And capable.
And I really enjoyed the books that she appeared in.
Yeah, she was in Use of Weapons, which we read first, but also her character was introduced more in the State of the Art, where she comes to Earth.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So also maybe that, because she has like a strong connection to humans. Maybe, I don't know.
Let me just say about her, she feels the most human of all the culture people. Like,
yes.
Again, she's that human-like character into these, even though there are humans, literally human.
And even though there
humans,
are other humans as well, but she has the most likable characters on many levels. Like, there's this other Sakawi. He is human as well, but he's like this warrior kind of type of person that I just don't really feel so attached to.
But for me, I really like him because he's like the most damaged, interesting character. There's other more damaged characters.
Exactly.
But he's a character where when you actually find out why he's damaged, you're just like, holy shit. And it's like, well, how could you ever move on from that? But then you read in another book, because he's actually the... he comes back in the War in Heaven book. What's that called?
Surface detail.
Yeah. He actually comes back and he is, maybe that was someone else. But anyway, he's one of the main characters in there. Yeah. And you realize, oh, actually, it is possible to move on. You know, when you think you're going to die and it's all
but
like...
But that doesn't make it, these kind of things make it an interesting character for me.
Yeah.
And then because he appears several times as well, it makes it more like, oh, that's this guy.
Yeah.
And especially with surface detail, as it's like a kind of a mystery. You only find out somehow if you're clever enough. And but he's not one of the characters that I felt when I was reading most connected and had fun.
Oh no, he's not a character that I connect to, and that's why in his book you have to have Dzietzmar to actually go along with that.
Okay. And while talking about Dzietzmar, I would also want to mention her drone. Marinskell. Is that
No, Marinskell is from Player of Games. You're talking about Skaffen Amtsiskor.
That was the drone I missed there.
Ah, okay.
That was...
Well, you don't have to actually write it down. You just need to say
it. Yes, I need to write it down.
Skaffen Amtsiskor.
Yes, this drone, I had lots of fun with that one as well. And I know you mentioned on the audiobooks that it had a fun voice.
All of Kenny... No, what was his name? Peter Kenny, he does these voices and the drones are always fantastic because this one is a killer. Why are you actually writing it down? Is it going to help you?
I need it. It's my
in your notes.
Yes.
You better save it as well because you haven't even saved it yet. Okay, so yes, he is also a good drone. We'll talk about more drones later. Any other humans?
So I have Vaya Kosand.
Yep.
And her pet thing. Mm-hmm. I forgot the name.
Pien or something like that. Pion.
I don't know. This is not so far when I can't remember. This is so embarrassing.
No, anyway, don't worry about it.
So then it was Holtz from the book Matter.
The Matter, the servant of the prince.
The prince was so the opposite thing of Holtz. And he was like, oh, and he's going to cry every second again. Oh, yeah. And he's so like, oh. But no, I really enjoyed Holtz. And more of a quirky character. I really liked the Ximenaer character from the Hydrogen Sonata.
Yes.
The guy who just likes putting on 65 penises on his himself.
And he once tried to have sex with 65 different people at the same time. They're like, oh, it didn't work out because it was too much effort. And then they started getting interested in each other.
Holy shit, that's terrible.
It was a logistical nightmare to have sex with 65 people at once.
But I really just enjoyed this quirky character.
Yeah, and I really like it that he sees himself as an artist. And then at the end when they transfer they make that airship and they're like, oh, and then you go through here and you swim up there and it's about rebirth and what does it mean? It's like, well, actually it was a way to drug people before they get to the party. You know, it's all that kind of stuff. It's some really good fun stuff in there as well. I have Gurge. Like Dzietzmar, I really like that Gurge from Play of Games is just really good and competent. And it's like, he's there because it's like, yeah, we're choosing you because you probably are the best player of games overall in the whole culture. And that's a big claim. If you know how big the culture is, it's got like trillions of people in it. And they go, oh, we're picking you for this job. Not because you want this job or because you're the best of the people who have applied, you know, like how it happens with, like you apply to get into contact and then special circumstances picks you. Like, I like that. You apply to get into one stage, but then you can't apply to get into special circumstances.
No, the other way they around. Have to get you.
Whereas they, special circumstances of contact, asked him. And that's quite unique, even though it's like early on in the series. It doesn't really happen that often that they're like, hey, we've got a job. And it's really big. And it's really important. It's the whole, what is it, the Magellanic Clouds or wherever they go off to. And there's this whole, the Azad Empire is huge. And that's such a weight on his shoulders. But you know what? He's just that good.
Yeah, no, he is.
He's just really good at what he does. Zakalwe, I've mentioned already. Vossil, who is the doctor from Inversions, the female doctor, which I really enjoyed her character. Because it is this complex character. And importantly, it's always from the point of view of the... assistant. I can't remember the assistant's name, but it's the assistant is the first person when he's like going, oh, then we did this and then we did that and then I went here and she was doing this. Mm-hmm. And it's because it's from that one point removed and you see it from someone who is obviously completely in love with her. She comes off really well, but it's I really enjoyed her character. Ledeja Yebrek, which is the slave, the the tattooed slave who then dies like right at the beginning of the book. She's in chapter and then is brought back to life in within the culture.
Yeah.
And then spends pretty much the whole book then traveling back. And it's like, I need revenge. And they're like, yeah. You're not going to kill him, are you? No, I'm not going to kill him. They're like, yeah. You're probably going to try and kill him.
And the drones in that one are pretty fun as well.
I can't remember the name of the drones in there, but it is quite funny how she gets this, like, this what they call it, a slap drone. It's like, yes, if you kill someone, we'll just put a drone on you to make sure that you never kill someone. And that's what that drone is. It's like, okay, we're going to make sure that this, that you don't. But that's quite a fun thing that she was kind of taken out of a situation, like from birth. Well, from before birth, she was born in a way which is totally bound to her master, and had to, you know, as a slave, and had to go through all of that.
Which book is that one?
That's Surface Detail as the War in Hells, because it's all about death. You know, that's the one where she.
Oh, and this is also the very confusing thing. So many of those books have more than one story going on.
Yeah.
So you read 10 culture books, and in fact, then you have like. Let's say 20 culture stories within all the books.
Yeah.
And so this is also why it can be quite confusing.
Yeah. And you're sometimes like, which female human with drone companion, which book are we talking about now? And it happens to me again. Yeah. And also Mahari Zilla, the composer in Look to Windward. I really liked him too.
I actually like the tripod guy better.
What do you mean, the tripod guy?
The tripod guy.
Quillen, Major Quillen. The
tripod guy. The big guy.
Yeah, but the composer's friend.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, okay, he's the main character. I can't remember his name either, but yes, he is quite good fun because they all always call him Ambassador, and he's like, I'm not really an ambassador. Okay, let's do this one. Those are the best characters. Those are the best good guys. Let's talk about...
Do you notice that, you have Sakawi and Gurgi on your list, but... in comparison, I think it's quite a nice level between female main characters or like characters that are enjoyable and male characters.
Yeah,
that doesn't happen so often in series, I think.
No, I understand. Yeah, because I mean, I didn't put Zeit Smar because I put down some of the ones that kind of stood out to me in this read through. You know, I've read those books a few times before.
But you're going with me that she's like really.
Yeah, she's an interesting. She's a good character. But yes, I did put like of the five I put down, there are two female characters. And which characters did you put down?
Zeit Smar and Verkosend.
Yeah, so you've got half female characters as well, pretty much. So okay, that's good. How about best villains? I've got a whole list here.
I have like a list that said bad guys, girls, and I don't even.
You've only got two. Okay, what's that? Captain Craiglin?
Mm?
What's that? Who's Captain Craiglin?
Where
you
did
can
I get
do it.
That from? Is that Consider Phlebas? I think it's Consider Phlebas.
Oh, right, yes. Okay, yeah, the captain
the
of the.
Pirate captain.
Yeah, the captain of the Clear Air Turbulence.
Yes.
Yes. He is a pretty fun character.
Is he a bad guy?
No, he's
I don't even know.
He's not really a bad guy, but he is a captain, and he's definitely an antagonist, because in that one, Horrorbores of Gorbachev is the... Oh, whatever his name is. I'm saying that off the top of my head. Horza. Anyway, Horza is his name, isn't it? Bora Horza something. Anyway, yes, so he is our protagonist. He's the one who has to go and do something and actually get somewhere.
Bora Horza Gorbachev.
Oh, I actually got it.
You were really good.
Pretty close. So he is our main character, and Craiglin is definitely like someone standing in his way.
Yeah.
So yes, he is pretty. I wouldn't say he's a villain, but he's maybe an antagonist.
And also, there's this guy in what was it? You see, it's so difficult. There's this one guy who does all the politics, and the guy who owns. Oh, I actually wrote him down. Why I'm not looking at my. Joyla Veppers
is on probably on the top of my list of villains because, and we talked about this at the time, he is a villain that goes head to head against the galaxy, head to head against the culture. He's going to use the culture. He's like, oh, we'll use the culture because he's all like, oh, I actually own all the hells. Mm. And if the hells aren't going to be used anymore, they're worthless to me. So I'm going to get them all destroyed now. So I look good. And, you know, we come up with all of this. And he actually decides to play off the whole war in heaven and play the culture at their own game, and all of these other civilizations, and all of these people, and he succeeds. Actually, what he set out to do, he does. And it's very rare that sort of like a human brain or a human level, even though he's not human, because he's not a culture person, but you know, he exists as a biological brain. He's not a ship mind, but he takes on the ship minds, and in the end, he wins.
And every other society that he's playing along with,
he wins.
He's tricking everyone.
He tricks everyone, and that's why he's so good. And he's just a really fun character to read. And he's a real villain. Like, you really hate him by the end. But in a way, you always want the bad guy. If it's a really good villain, you kind of want the bad guy to win. You're kind of rooting for the villain, you know.
Yeah.
And he is definitely the villain in all of these books that I kind of root for the most. I'm like, yes, do it. Yeah, let's go.
And that was the guy that stood out for me in my head the most for also political intrigue.
Yeah, he does well.
This was really amazing, like to trying to understand what's going on with him and all the others. Because there are several of his like conspirators.
Yeah.
And then you think, this is the way it is. And then a few pages or chapters later, you think, no, actually he's building up something with this fraction. And, I don't,
Talking of other politicians, because pretty much all the politicians in this, they're all, except for the president of the orbital in that last book, in Look to Windward. Not because it was just a pure figurehead, not even a real politician. Yeah. Or it seems like almost all politicians are bad, which is funny because the culture doesn't have politicians because it's an anarchist society, you know, and so it only has these ships directing things. It's like, you know, it has administrators. The ships are kind of administrators, but not politicians. But there's Lois, who is in Matter, is the king's second in command, like the king's prime minister, who at the start kills the king by reaching into his wound and squeezing the king's heart, you know, while the prince is watching, you know. That actually, and that was one of the times when I was watching, like, when I read that book for the first time, like, my heart was aching as I was reading that. I was just like, no. And I was like, I was feeling kind of uncomfortable in my own body reading about someone reaching into someone else's chest cavity and squeezing their heart until they died. And I was like, And so if someone can affect me that physically, it works as well. Banstagan from Hydrogen Sonata, he's not the prime minister, he's not the president, he's like that, he's on that level of, there's seven of them or three of them, I don't know, whatever. There's a one president,
I think three,
and then there's three people, and then there's seven people, like there's like different layers of in the kind
he's
of pyramid
too low
structure.
Down. He wants to go up.
No, he didn't want to be president. That was the thing. He was actually in that other... Anyway, Banstagan is like, yes, I'm going to do this. And they're going to call it Banstagan's World. No, Banstagan's Star. But he's this kind of tragic figure. And in the end, when he kills his girlfriend, he was like, after he kills his girlfriend, not really a girlfriend, but anyway, she was pregnant. And then he was like, like this. And he kind of has these human moments. And in the end, it's like a bad guy where he's doing this stuff in motion, but it's just kind of like a politician with things out of his control.
Yeah.
The only female bad character that I put down here is Marshal Chekwi, which was the person who was carrying out his orders, but not really carrying out orders. She was the one who was like, this whole 14th battalion found out the secret. Let's destroy the entire battalion.
Yeah, but she kind of just, I know it's bad to say, but she kind of just did her job.
Yeah, she was doing a job, but she was doing a job in a way which was a bit more extreme than Banstagan wanted, but then Banstagan was going along with it, and because he was kind of nominally saying, it's okay that you're doing this, she was just doing more and more and taking more and more liberties. So it was that pairing kind of, and it was quite funny that they actually then sublimed together. They kind of held hands and sublimed together. So it was quite funny that they went off and you're like, you guys kind of deserve each other.
Yeah.
So that was that going on. What else have I got? The demons in hell, which are just really cool.
Oh, yeah.
But also the politicians who ran the hells. You know, there's like these elephant-y kind of politicians who you're like, you should be nice because you're kind of cute elephant. Like, you're kind of elephant aliens. You know, the two people who are going through hell.
Yeah.
And they came, one of them came out. And
Prin
was,
and Che.
Yeah. So it's the politicians that Prin, or is it Che? I can't remember which one was Prin and Che. Anyway.
Che is the.
Peluvians.
Is the female who stays in the hell.
Yeah. Anyway, those are quite interesting characters. I mean, not interesting as that they weren't deep, but the situation that they were in, where one of them was left behind and they came out and says,
"Oh, it was so horrible.
It was so horrible." That's what I'm saying.
This situation of these two guys,
yeah,
was the worst ever.
Yeah,
because the thing was playing along all the time was the knowledge of that Prin had that these hells aren't real.
Yeah.
And he knew it. And he just did what they said to save themselves out of the hells. And the worst thing is that Che, she lost all hope.
Yeah.
And that was just the worst ever. How she really just, she, like, there was nothing left. And then she had to suffer all this. And then she went through this really weird connection with that very bad guy in the hells.
Yeah.
The bad guy in the hells. Yeah. And, oh, that was heartbreaking.
Anyway, so the demons in that hell and the politicians who kept running that hell and kept on designing, like, who is it who designs more and more hellish things for the people to go through? Of course, that is a real villain.
If the thing with designing bad things for other people is if you don't have to go through it, if you're designing it and you don't, it doesn't affect you yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be really creative and I think, oh, this would be cool and this would be cool.
But it is
not thinking that it's actually people suffering.
No, because it actually says in the book that the people put in charge, it was the people who were like the sociopaths and sadists who died there. They were put in charge of doing bad things to other people. That's who
terrible.
Became that. Anyway, some other good villains. I liked the Eater clan head in when Borohoza Gorbachev when he landed on the island and there was the Eater clan who tried eating him, but then they were eating like meat kind of watered down and mixed with shit, and then they had that thing but he had the poison in his mouth and he bit. Anyway, that whole situation is just like, I mean, it wasn't even needed in the book, and that was kind of made the book weaker that he kept on going on these side expeditions which didn't lead anywhere.
Yeah.
But that was pretty cool. The affront, I quite like the affront. The capture, going back to Consider Phlebas, the Adiran captain, or the Adiran, the one Adiran who is there at the end, who they kind of are like trying to keep control. I really love that because you kind of go, oh, the Adiran war is so big in this whole series. And that's pretty much the only Adiran that you meet in the whole thing, except some people right, like really, really early on in the ship that gets destroyed.
Yeah, it's pretty much always just about it, yeah.
Yeah, and it comes down to him. And when you actually read his story, you're like, oh, okay, now I understand how the culture were kind of put on the back foot and took a lot of years, you know, 30, 40 years to kind of get into the war footing and then fight back and defeat them. Mm. Just that passage is where you actually see the Adirans, what they're like, is pretty cool. And finally, Lois be a friend. Major Krillin, who is the guy who tried destroying the orbital at the end in the Look to Windward book.
Yes.
He is kind of a protagonist of the book, but he is also a villain. And what I liked about that, he was kind of a knowing villain. He knew he was being used and he didn't know what it was.
Yeah,
but when he got to the end, you'd think, oh, he's not going to try and destroy the orbital at the end. He's not going to do it. And then he does.
He didn't really have a choice.
He did have a choice.
No, yeah, choice would have been that he would have been the bomb himself.
Yeah, but so the choice was that, I mean, the idea was that the computer personality in his brain, or also sharing his soul keeper, would have done the job for him if he didn't want to do
it. Yes, exactly.
But he still
did it.
He still would have done it. Because you know when the orbital actually confronts him at the end, they were like.
But it's really I can't really go with it to call this guy a bad guy, not a villain. He's in my opinion, he's not really a villain in this case because other people set him up to do this.
Okay, so he was just a tool of other villains.
He was just a tool of other.
Okay,
I'll give
you that one. I'll give you that one. Okay, best drones.
Drones. I have two.
Yeah, you've already mentioned one. Scaff and Amtascore.
Before, because I'm sure I forgot lots of others because I remember there was a big one, like a big shiny one, but I don't remember. The two, Marin Scale.
Yeah, who I also have down.
Look, in Play of Games.
Look, I have him as well.
Oh, yeah, Fiery Imsao. That was the other one.
No, that's the same drone. That's the whole point. It's the same drone.
All right.
This is the one that goes with him.
Yes.
And that was the one who better
saves him.
No, who at the beginning was like, hey, you should cheat. You should cheat. It's the same. That's the whole point. Is it was the same drone all the time.
Okay. Well, that one.
Spoilers.
And Scaphanam Disqua.
Yeah, really good. I also put down the Gazilt Combat Android from Hydrogen Sonata, who is like, I am in a simulation. And he's that is just so great. And again, he filled that role of someone for the main female character, droid companion. She did have the pillowcase robot, the little companion.
Piet.
Yeah, but is it Piet or something? Anyway, so she had that, but also she had this combat android who went along. And it's really fun to see these combat androids who kind of get into a fight and scrap around and actually really good. Not obviously quite as good as like proper combat drones from from the culture, but still very capable.
Yeah,
I guess.
And also like as in the... I'm always mixing up. Which one is it with the health? It's the... Surface detail.
Yeah.
So in that one, it plays a lot with second realities, in realities that you think you are in,
yeah,
because you feel and hear and taste and everything,
yeah.
But then you're kind of not in it. And in the Hydrogen Sonata with that combat android, it's the same.
Yeah,
he's 100% sure he's in a simulation.
Yeah,
and. But in fact, he's not. But then he can't know it because he doesn't get the... I don't know. He doesn't get all the information through. And it's like the same with the Hells. They are, in fact, in a simulation.
Yeah. But this is what I really love about this book is that it sets up some stuff at the beginning, like with the Consider Phlebas and Player of Games. It's like, okay, there was this war. And then every book from there just kind of mentions this as it's part of history and it's kind of an explored thing that we've done it. And then there's these other things like, oh, what does contact do? What does special circumstances? So when you get to the later books, all of that stuff doesn't have to be explained again. But it's the same with these big concepts like, you know, the morality and interventionism and then it
and
gets
death.
To the and death. What happens
subliming,
with death? Subliming. Yeah. The wars in hell. Well, actually, Matter is about that. There's these big things saying, well, how do we know we're in a simulation? We don't know. Like, and there's a whole kind of like, well, are there gods? Were we created? Are we created? Are we all that? And then it's just played on. And then once it gets to the last book that Ian M. Banks wrote in this series, the Hydrogen Sonata, he can just reference these massive ideas in just this one in character moments. They just become background for characters to make the characters more interesting. It's like, oh, do you think we're in a simulation? And you just go, and then every single thing that you read in the culture, you just think, is this a simulation?
Yeah.
Because
it's
in
so
some
clever.
Point, yeah, because again, in the surface detail, there's actually a few characters at the start, you know, with the, I can't remember the name now, of the, it opens with this general, well, he's not a general yet, but he goes on. And
is it Yaim Zoki?
No. I'm talking about Zakalwi, but it's Vatuel. Yeah. So yeah. Guillaume Vatuel, he starts off and just dies, and you're like, oh.
That was great.
And then somebody else dies, and you're like, oh. And then someone else dies, and you're like, oh, so everyone's just dying. And then you realize, oh, no, actually, one of them was in a simulation. One of them was backed up and didn't get sent to a hell. And another one did go to a hell. And another one's in a simulated hell. And another one's in a game about hell. Anyway, so let's go on. Some interesting ships. I really like the Interesting Times gang. I think that's a really fun idea that there's... And I really love the way that someone sets up, hey, that we've got an incident going on here. And then all the Interesting Times gang joins that forum, that chat room, and then votes on what to do.
Yeah.
And then votes on setting up another one. And everyone's invited except that one ship that nobody likes. You know, all that kind of stuff that they're doing their little politicking around. And it's not just the Interesting Times gang, but there's like in that last book as well. Well, I say in Hydrogen Sonata, there's another group and they're saying, hey, where's the Interesting Times gang? This is the kind of thing that they would get into. And others like, oh no. And you realize that the Interesting Times gang has become like this legendary group that other groups of ships want to emulate and kind of, oh, it's like we've got our own little Interesting Times gang together.
Yeah.
You know? So it's quite influential, those guys. You? Ships?
Well, I have mostly found some really fun names. The one ship that I really liked, as I said before, is the Grey Area Meatfucker ship, which I like. It was just like a very sensitive character, and it kind of like the idea of building whole war scenes.
No, that was the sleeper service who did that.
But I ask you, and you said...
No, Greyfucker was the one who only had one human person on it, and it was the girlfriend of the guy who wanted to become an affront. And otherwise it had whales and birds and lighthouses and stuff.
But that was fun as well.
That was fun.
But, okay, then the sleeper service.
Yeah, sleeper service was the other ship.
Yeah, so these two ships are two of my favorites. And also, in the Hydrogen Sonata, the Mistake Not...
Yes, Mistake Not the Fury, which is not just me joshing, but the...
No, it's my current state of joshing gentle peevishness for the awesome and terrible majesty of the towering seas of the ire that are themselves the milquetoast shallows fringing my vast oceans of wrath.
Okay, that so there was no way I'd have remembered all of that, but there was...
But there was something in it, do you remember?
I think.
This is just really cool how it has a name and it calls himself Mistake Not. And and then it's kind of like, don't underestimate.
So what else have you got here? Matter. It's my party and I'll sing if I want to.
Yeah, I just like it. I have Clear Air Turbulence from the Consider Flevers.
Not a culture ship.
But you have that as well, didn't you?
Nope.
Mention it somewhere?
Nope. No. I really like the Arbitrary from State of the Art because it kind of just sits there orbiting Earth and playing jokes, like practical jokes on Earth.
Yeah.
You know, because it's like, oh, I'm recording everything that the Earth is doing. And it kind of puts the ship's minds into context of what it was like. You know, in the 1970s, there's not a lot of communications and not a lot of computing power. But the Arbitrary was just recording everything anyway.
Yeah.
And then... He even goes, oh, I'd like you to play, like he calls up to the BBC, whatever it is, and was like, oh, could you play this song on the radio for me? Could you play, what is it, Ground Control to Major?
Yeah.
No, it wasn't. It was, Space Odyssey. Oddity, Space Oddity or whatever it is. I was thinking it was Life on Mars, but you know, it's another one. And just saying, can you play this for the crew of the Arbitrary? You know, and I really liked him. And it's like, hey, we're going to send you down to Earth. How? Well, you get to sit in this car and then we're going to fly the car. Like he could have just transplanted it down. But it's like, no, I'm going to lower you down. You're going to fly down through the atmosphere and land. So I quite like his sense of humor. And also the falling outside the normal moral constraints, which I quite like as a title.
Yeah.
It's really fun.
I got some more titles there. Just Read the Instructions and Unfortunate Conflict of Evidence.
From Play of Games.
From Play of Games. I really like it.
Just Read the Instructions is the name of the SpaceX drone ship, as they're calling it now.
Oh, yeah.
And the other one is... Of Course I Still Love You, which is also from Player of Games. Yes. Both of those books are there for the...
I really, really like that he's doing that.
What? Elon Musk is naming his ships. Well,
his ships and his landing platforms.
The Falcon rocket is named after the Millennium Falcon.
Yeah.
So, like, why not just carry on?
Of course. That's clever. So I have, again, then funny, It Worked Last Time.
Okay. You're just now saying these aren't characters that you remember.
No, but this is just like reading through the Wikipedia page of ship names, and this is just really funny.
I really like some of these ones here. There's one, the LSV, you call this clean? Which is,
and I have you'll clean that up before you leave.
Yeah. So funny.
I just really like it how he doesn't just give his ships just names like Liberty.
Yeah.
Discovery.
Well, the ships reflect what's going on. Anyway, it says here, look to windward. Most of the culture ship names in this novel are only mentioned in a humorous conversation about ship names in chapter 11. So I
selected one of them.
What's that?
All through with this niceness and negotiation stuff.
Yeah, so that is a fun one. However, it does feel like Ian M. Banks was like, oh, this is going to be my final novel, because this was going to be his final culture novel, Look to Windward. And it's like, oh, but I've got this whole list of ship names that I want to mention them all. So he's just like, let's just have two people having a conversation and then I'll just put down all the ship names that I have, the funny ones that
fit. Well, I can deal with that, because I think this is one thing that goes through all the books that is really enjoyable.
And I do like it. There's some of these go across different books. Like there's one which is called... lack of gravitas.
Yeah, the gravitati stuff.
And then there's another one which is another something else called lack of gravitas. And then there's it has a list down here on the bottom. Stood far back when the gravitas was handed out. Gravitas? What gravitas? Gravitas free zone. Absolutely no, you know what. But I do like that. There was another one called Who's asking? There's one that's called, no, but who's counting? And then that was in Look to Windward. And then in the book, or in a few books later, there's one called Me, I'm Counting. Yeah. And you only get that if you know that there's the look who's counting. Yeah.
But you do know that gravitas is not gravity, yeah?
Yeah, gravitas means seriousness.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's like
why?
Of course, I know that.
Why are you even asking?
I don't know.
It's about the gravity of a situation. When you say, "What is this situation has a lot of gravity," it means, and that is gravitas.
But
in that meaning,
it comes also from the from this art in the beginning of the 18th century or what it was. I don't know.
Tell me more.
Goya.
Yeah.
A Spanish painter. That they did this very much like this carpe diem and stuff. This gravitas is part of carpe diem.
Okay. There's actually a Twitter handle which I'm just searching for now on Twitter. While you search for something on Twitter, I've done something very bad and is also trying to search for something on Twitter. There's a it's called Culture Ship Names. Why is it not coming up? Anyway, so someone just tweets every day a culture ship name, which isn't a real culture ship name. Oh, it's actually called Culture Ship Names, at Culture Ship Names. So they just tweet that, and every day another fake culture ship name. So let's go through them.
All right.
The rapid offensive fuses, hell yes, I'm tough enough. Meat-free week, soft focus profile. It wasn't going to happen anyway. You know, that's no moon. The GSV, that's no moon. You know, so I think...
So they are coming up with more ship names.
1,433 tweets. So maybe there's 1,433 ship names that people have collected together. And I just noticed two of my friends are following that. So I might just click follow as well to get ship names entered in to my into my consciousness every day.
Oh, so gravitas is one of the Roman virtues along with pietas, dignitas, and virtus.
Okay. Translated as weight, seriousness, and dignity, importance, and connotates a certain substance. Anyway, let's get move on because I've still got a few other categories of things I want to talk about.
And
we've been going quite a long time already. So let's get through some of these ones a bit more quickly now. And I have lost my notes. Here they go. So we've gone to best ships. Okay, big locations. This is what he does well. Like, for example, there's an orbital which has a sea all the way, or an ocean all the way around the orbital, and then there's a ship on that orbital which keeps going round. And he does this a few times. Ships that keep traveling forwards, never turn around. In Consider Phlebas, there's a big ship that they drive into the side, drive into an iceberg and crash their iceberg. There's another one on Look to Windward. There's a canal which goes all the way around, and they go into a barge and they sail along on that barge and go through the different areas and there's stuff. Also, in the Hydrogen Sonata, there's the Equatorial Circle City. I can't remember what it's called.
Yeah.
And that has an airship which just keeps going forward. And I always like these ideas of ships that they just keep going forwards.
Sounds
keep going
a bit like Snowpiercer.
Yeah, keep going forwards. And, of course, he really likes smashing them up and destroying them, which he does quite a few times. I like the cable cars on that orbital as well.
Yes, Hydrogen Sonata.
Again, it's very incidental, and quite a lot of these things are quite incidental. It's like the action could take place anywhere. The story could take place anywhere, but you go, let's have a tour. Let's go for this big thing, like the Morgenfeld ship, which is like, oh, you can't see all of this because it's actually all blurry, but if you wear these glasses, it makes it look everything, you know, you can get the scale of it and what it is and how many trillions upon trillions and trillions of the Morgenfeld live on that place. I like the behemothors as well in that gas bag. The shell world is good.
The shell world, I wanted to mention that one too, because that is really cool.
Yeah, the different layers of civilizations down.
Yeah.
And also what I really enjoy is the Gazilt 14th Regiment HQ, which
the headquarters
is
in the
satellite going around the moon, below the moon.
Yeah.
And underneath the edge of the thing there. So what else have we got? Have you got anything else that you want to talk about? Because I've got a few more different things.
Wait, let me have a look. Oh, I wanted to talk about the technical and like the stuff that they have.
The inventions.
Yes.
Like knife missiles.
Like knife missiles and also like personality backups, of course.
Yeah, but that's what the books are about. It's different. Like starships and warp drives you have there. Of course, the starships and warp drives. It's space opera.
Yeah, but this is why I also really like these books.
You just like all the jargon.
And I mean,
press that.
Well, okay. There's nothing there anyway. It doesn't matter.
There, you lost it.
No, it didn't lose it yet. There's still the, do you want to delete it? Oh, no, I can always say,
cancel. Okay, so I quite like different things. Okay, let's talk about the, I mean, I'm sorry that we didn't talk too much about them, but they're kind of two big topics to go through.
Of course.
Like energy manipulation. What do you want to say about that?
But this is what kind of makes it.
You like fields? Fields?
Oh, no, I just copied the headings from the Wikipedia page, technology. And stuff.
Okay, let's talk about the best game. What is your best game in here? I've got Damage from Consider Phlebas, where you have lives in the game, and the lives are actual real people's lives who don't want to live anymore, and you play the card game, and that captain was doing that. But I really like the idea that when you get down to no lives, you can actually bet your own life.
Oh, yes, right. Yeah, I remember that
that's
one.
That's quite a good one.
Yeah, that's good.
So I like that. There's Azad, which is the player of games, which I think is amazing. And there's quite a few other fun games that are mentioned in there. And there's a few different things. And one way to show how rich someone is, it's like, I will now have a battle. And they do this, it's two similar things in versions. There's this catapult game, and the guy, and they're shooting catapults, and they have to hit the catapults into the lake.
Just because they're bored.
Yeah, it's because they're bored. Yes. Right? And then Joyless Vepers has a whole loads of channels. He's got all these islands, and they actually put boats around it and shoot each other in the boats. And of course, when you read that, you're like, oh, okay, character stuff happens. You think, well, this is obviously going to be where the big showdown is at the end. And then it is, and you're like, yes, you know, so it kind of means a lot. And I really like, and there's lots of other games that I mentioned. Even the War in Hells is quite fun. And so, again,
if it would be just like the thing with that one is the abstraction about it.
The War in Hell.
Yes. For some people, it's a game.
Yeah.
And abstract, and they don't really have a connection to it.
Yeah.
They're just there and enjoying it. And the other side is that the people are actually suffering and stuff.
There,
so I think this is also a really strong thing that Ian M. Banks is doing in all of his books, is he kind of always shows that there are more than one side to things.
Yeah.
And this is why I really, really like it. It's not just like black and white and this is how it is. No, the culture is a really, really big, long stretch of grey and white and black.
And depth, yeah.
You know?
So, that's important. But what I'm trying to say is with these games, the games always reflect the bigger game. Because in the end, the big game is, like, what's the Interesting Times gang getting up to?
Exactly, that's always
them,
a bigger fish.
There's always a bigger fish. There's always another layer outside of that. And then that's what the ships are doing. But then even among different kind of, like, the different civilizations, you know, like the different levels.
Just like the Shell World is a good example for it again as well.
Yeah.
It's like all, like, layers and layers and layers of things. And then there is the not sentient bacteria, and then there is the caterpillar, and then there is the and then there's the culture, and above the culture is still something more.
In the Hydrogen Sonata. Yeah, what's that?
How we know that there is when the culture is gone, and there's this one guy surviving.
Oh yeah.
You know, like there's still a greater.
That's not in the Hydrogen Sonata. Let's Look to Windward.
Oh, Look to Windward.
Yeah, because that's the last one that we
read.
Yeah. Like the epilogue for Look to Windward. Yeah, yeah. It is. We're another million years in the future.
There's even something above the culture. So
more important, bigger.
Yeah. So there's always more than one layer and one side to the thing.
So anything else that you want to talk about? Because I've gone through all of my notes here. Is there anything not on your notes that you want to talk about?
No,
or should we just wrap it up? I mean, because we've talked about lots of fun stuff. I know this is very much a, hey, what did you like? Hey, what did you like? Which is
Well, the thing is, on my list here, I checked on, I have all the books here.
Yeah.
Two have got 3 stars. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 have 4 stars, and 3 have 5 stars. So why should I talk about things? Oh, I didn't really did not like it.
No,
especially after such a long time.
Yeah,
the good stuff. You remember.
Yeah. So let's just wrap it up there. Then I've got not much to say. Read this book. Also, read it in the order that we did. You can find this order on the SFBRP listener group and check out the. It's called Culture Stew's Book Club Discussion. And yeah, I guess we could finish up. What this order was? We mentioned this a few times, but this order is actually a really good order. I came up with it just like after thinking about it for a while, like. Even before Ian M. Banks died, I was like, Look to Windward should go first. Look to Windward should go last. Play of Games, there's this trilogy of Matter, Surface Detail, Hydrogen Sonata, yeah. And also Look to Windward should go after Hydrogen Sonata because they're both about the same topic. Or they're talking about the sublime, and all these other things. Like, I always thought that State of the Art and Inversions went together well as well because it was about, the culture coming down to it and the people there not being aware,
yes.
But from both different sides.
Yeah.
This
order is really, I just really appreciate that we read it this way.
Yeah.
It's good.
I think it starts off in the right way and ends, it starts strong, ends strong, and everything in between leads to each other.
Yes.
Better, I think, than the way it's written. Although it is impressive, actually, when you read through these books, all of them are set after the previous one. Does that make sense? Like in chronological,
yes.
Internal chronological order. Some of them go backwards and forwards a bit in time, but all of the, it's always like, it's now 300 years since the Edirian War, and now it's 400 years, and now it's 800 years, and now it's 1100 years. It always feels a bit further on in time. So you do miss that a bit, but I think thematically and just story wise and character wise, it goes better. Whatever you do, don't start with Consider Phlebas. It's the weakest one. It only gets better from there on in. So that's good. And when I write my own Ian M. Banks culture series fan fiction wrap up to the end of culture book, wouldn't be called end of culture, but it'll be about another big crisis for the culture, because the culture had it a bit too easy all the way since Succession. The culture had it a bit too easy.
I don't think so.
No, the Edirian War almost ruined the culture, and then from then on it was always too easy and you had to go outside. And I really want to, if I was to write the fan fiction, I would definitely have the culture go up against itself or something as big as itself.
Yeah,
in
but
a way,
why do you have to always, like, the big crisis has to be a war against something?
No, it wouldn't be a war.
Right.
I'm saying that the Edirian War was the last big crisis.
Okay.
Accession, they got off a bit too easily.
Yeah.
By just, going, hey,
could
I'm
be,
here.
Could be computer virus.
Couldn't, it, not, no, I think, no, because all of the, they all do. Anyway, so I would definitely bring back some of the things that we talked about today.
Of course.
What I'd love is actually to see Gurge, Player of Games, going up against his name has gone now. Quickly, let me get back to him. It was right here in my brain a second ago.
Zakalwi
and Gurge in a computer simulated war, like the war in heaven. What would have happened if Zakalwi, best general in the world, goes up against Gurge, best kind of tactical, like, gameplay? I think them two on different
this
sides
is so so macho kind of stuff.
It's not macho, it's intellect.
It is.
It's
no.
Pure intellect. How can you say it's macho?
We
it's
were just
intellect.
talking. No, you bring up the two guys that are, like,
the best
good in tactics and war.
Yeah, I'm just
and
saying.
Then
I'm just saying these are two classic. These are two real classic culture characters who
okay,
never go.
We
but
should
never
do
meet.
It like that. You write this part of the story, and I write a different part of the story, and then we combine it into a culture novel, because this is kind of what Ian M. Banks did.
What?
There was never just like one really macho kind of.
I've already got the whole story in my brain anyway. It'll just take me a few months to write it, which I'm probably not got time for.
Right.
Anyway, so. And I probably wouldn't write it anyway, because why would I? It wouldn't be as good. Although it might be fun if other people were like, hey, I want more culture. I'd be like, hey, I've got a fun story to tell. And it wouldn't be the end of the culture. It'd just be a big task. It would be a big thing.
It would
a big
just be
thing.
A side thing.
No, it wouldn't be a big side thing, because most of these stories are side stories to the culture. I would want the culture to face a big existential threat and have to make a big decision and either go with it or go against it. We know that the culture doesn't last forever. We know.
You see, I would find it way more interesting if you would write a novel about the beginning of the culture and
no,
how
that's
it developed.
Not interesting.
This
no.
is way more interesting.
Not, no, it isn't.
How they actually made, like,
no.
You could write our ascend of our society into the culture.
No, boring. It's boring. No, it has to build. It have to go, okay, what is the last thing that we know about in the culture? It's all of, we did matter, we did hydrogen and sonata. Things are getting bigger all the time. The questions are getting bigger, like, all the time. And
all right, listeners, you have to help me there. Come
what?
Up. Say what you want to read about the culture. Something
well,
what
and,
you more you
I'm
want to read.
And I'm going to do it. Anyway, let's finish up because it's almost an hour in. You can email me, luke@juggler.net. Someone said the other day, I managed to track down your email address from your other website. And I was like, I mention it on every single podcast. And I say I don't have it on the website because I don't want book publishers and authors to email me, but listeners listen to me saying luke@juggler.net at the end of every podcast. I reply to every email. You can follow me and Juliana, become our friends on Goodreads, which is the best way. Check out the Goodreads SFBRP listener group discussion. You can follow me on Twitter. I'm @LukeBurge on Twitter. What else do we normally say at this point? I think that's, oh, Audible. Sign up for Audible. Go to audibletrial.com/SFBRP, and that's really, really handy. I was just doing my taxes this month, and it was very pleasing to see how many people have supported the SFBRP by going to that thing, starting an Audible account, getting a free audiobook. I say, just get Player of Games. Even if you read it before, it's really good. Peter Kenny is a fantastic audiobook narrator. That's another thing. Peter Kenny, or fantastic audiobook narrator. Love the audiobooks. And so check it out on Audible. Finishing on the advert, what else have we got to say?
That's it.
Live long and prosper, whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, thanks a lot for listening, and I'll catch you next time.
Goodbye.